Good evening and welcome to Calgary Free Presbyterian Church, to the Pine Ridge neighbourhood here in Calgary. You're all very welcome to our second evening of our online gospel outreach. So I'd like to thank you once again for joining us. And if it is your first time, you're very welcome to this week-long series of meetings. And if you're joining us again this evening, welcome back. I would just like to say that these messages that we have this week all come from one important book, the most important book that mankind possesses, and that is from the Bible. Now, if you have not got a copy yourself and you would like a copy, then please, by all means, get in touch. You can email me for a free copy of the scriptures, which you can do so by email with your name and address. And that will be to Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, at calgaryfpc.ca, calgaryfpc.ca. I'm just quickly checking to see if we're online properly. I beg your pardon. So as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention again, the theme of these messages, which all come from the Holy Scriptures, is the theme of hope. In a time that we see much hopelessness, but this theme is hope. And last night we saw the hope that we have in the person of Jesus Christ, in the person of the God-man, Jesus Christ, who is the way to the God. He is the truth of God, and he is the life, because he is God. And he is the only way back to the Father. And that's what we clearly saw from the scriptures yesterday, from John 14 and verse 6. And this evening, with the Lord's help, we're examining another message of hope from the scriptures. And that is the hope of everlasting life. Before we continue, may I just ask you to just still your hearts and we'll pray together, please. Our God and Father, we give thee thanks and praise that we may call upon thee again. Lord, we thank thee that the God of heaven and earth, who is infinite and eternal, whom all the holy angels worship, who is enthroned on high, and there is only he as God, the one true and living God, and he is almighty, and he knows all things, and he is absolutely perfect and wonderful. And yet thee, O God, thou art pleased to speak to mankind, and pleased, O God, to save sinners. Lord, how wonderful art thou. How wonderful is thy name, and glorious it is in all the earth. And God, thou hast granted unto men and women and boys and girls salvation through Jesus Christ. O Lord, as we consider these things this evening, may it please thee to open the hearts and the minds and the ears of all who are listening live and at a later time. Lord, we thank thee that thou drawest people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it is thy will to save all those whom thou art pleased to save. So we do pray, Lord, will thou please pour out thy spirit upon these messages, pour out thy spirit upon me to teach, preach, and share these messages, Lord, to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinners who are in their sin and still guilty before thee may hear and believe and be saved. Lord, bless the children. Bless the gospel outreach singers as they come to minister in song again to us this evening. Lord, give them that confidence they need. Give them that joy as they sing of joyful things. And Lord, have mercy, we pray, because we know from thy word that thou art rich in mercy. Hear us in Jesus' name, for we pray in for his glory. Amen. Amen. And so before we move any further, I would like to ask the gospel outreach singers to come up and to sing a wonderful hymn, which is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. What does that mean? Well, blessed, you know what blessed means, something's wonderful. It's a blessing to you. But what's assurance? It means that you may know. You may know that the Lord has saved you, that the Lord will feed your soul and will draw nigh to you, that you will know that God has saved me. And this feeling of, and this knowledge, more than a feeling, but this certain knowledge which is linked with the feeling that you know that the Lord loves you and that the Lord has saved you, is called in this hymn a foretaste of glory divine, a foretaste of heaven, when we'll know that we're with the Lord and we will be with the Lord forever and ever. And so, singers, would you like to come up, please, and minister in song? Thank you. Thank you once again, Gospel Outreach singers. It's quite nerve-wracking to stand in front of a camera, you know, and then to have your voice recorded, and then have to sing as well, and keep all the notes in the right order. It's a challenge. Thank you very much that you're prepared to take the time this week, children, and to minister to us in song. We'll be reading from the scriptures this evening, again from the Gospel according to John, which is the fourth Gospel account that we have in the New Testament. So you open up the New Testament, and the first book you see is Matthew, and you go to the next one, Mark, then Luke, and we're reading John. And chapter 3, please. John, chapter 3, and we'll read the first 17 verses together. John, chapter 3. Reading from verses 1 to 17. John 3, 1 to 17. So please hear with care, attention, the word of God. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wants, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. We trust to God that he will bless the reading of his word to your soul, even tonight. And so on to this evening's gospel message of hope. I have a question for you. Do you want to die? You might think that's a strange question. Well, most people don't want to die. Most people would like to avoid death. But it is the one certain thing that will happen in life. We will die. You will die. And I will die. And the Bible says in the New Testament, in the letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the Romans, it says there in chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, For the wages of sin is death. It says, For the wages of sin is death. In other words, the payment or the reward that we get for sinning against God, for sinning against conscience, for sinning against knowledge, ultimately against God's holy commandments, the reward that we get is death. That's the reward, that's the wages. And the graveyards and the mortuaries, the crematoria, they are absolutely full of this proof. Full of that proof. Because the Bible also says in the selfsame letter, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, and therefore all die. But how is that truth that I've just shared with you, how is that part of a message of hope? Well, the verse continues, Romans 6 and verse 23. It continues. It says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so against the hopeless truth that sin, that wickedness, rebellion, and unbelief will lead to death, and as I said, the graveyards are full of the proof of the truth of that scriptural statement, and yet here we have a but God. That God intervenes, that God interrupts man in his folly and interrupts man on his way to death and eternal death, but God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's this promise that I'd like to reveal to you today through the text that we read together from the text of John 3 and verse 16. So if you have a copy of the scriptures open in front of you, you'll see John 3 and verse 16, and it says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we see this text, John 3 and verse 16, it's a full verse and there's an awful lot in there. And we'll read it again just to get it clear. For God, or because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God so loved the world, in that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we see four important truths in this text. Four important truths. The first truth that we see is God's love. God's love is declared straight away. For God so loved the world. And many people, when they've heard of this saying from the Bible does say this, that God is love. And when many people hear that God is love, they think, well, if God is love, God loves me. And I'm good to go, and I'm on my way to heaven. Well, if they are going to heaven, then why on earth did the Lord have to send Jesus Christ? Why is there a gospel to proclaim? And why are so many people naturally against the gospel? Why are all people naturally against the gospel? If it's only a question of just receiving the love of God. Well, I'll tell you what the Bible does speak about the love of God. Just a few things. God loves holiness. God loves truth. And God loves justice. Those are three things that God loves. And because God loves holiness, because God loves truth, and God loves justice, he hates wickedness, he hates the lie, he hates sin. He hates all these things. And the question then to you, have you ever lied? If so, you are a liar. Have you ever stolen, ever committed an act of injustice? However big or small that thing is that you stole, you're a thief. Have you ever taken the precious name of God or the name of Christ and used it as a curse word? Then you are a blasphemer. Well, and God hates all sin. The Bible also said that God is angry with sinners every day. He's angry with the wicked. And you might think, I'm not wicked. But we've just determined the truth that you're a lying, thieving blasphemer. That is a good definition of the wicked. If you sin and you stay in your sin, the Bible declares you wicked. The Bible is very clear about these things. And for many people, the Bible is too clear about these things. But the Bible is a light. It's also called a lamp because it shines truth into the hearts and the consciences and the lives of men and women and boys and girls. And people do not like that light. And so God's saving love cannot just flow towards the unrepentant sinner. Do you know why? or because the sinner is unlovable. The sinner is unlovable for a holy God. And you might think that that seems to contradict all that you've heard. No, but did you hear it clearly? That because of our sin and because of our godlessness, because of our self-righteousness, maybe because of our rejection of the gospel as well, all these things pulled together, even our unbelief in Jesus Christ, all these things are all different types of sins. That makes us unlovable. We are unlovable by a holy God. Cannot love something unholy. But in order to make us lovable, the message of hope, in order to make us lovable, God did something wonderful. And so we, first of all, we saw God's love, but now secondly, we see God's gift. God's gift. And we look at our verse again, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God has only one begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has one Son. And in the same way that your father fathered you, and your father is a human being, and therefore when he fathered you, you are also a human being. You see, like begets like. That's obvious. We see that on every farm in the world. You see that in every zoo in the world. A monkey begets monkey. A cow begets a cow. A human begets a human. God begets God. God the Father has eternally begotten God the Son. And it's important to know that when the scripture talks about the Savior, it's not talking about some holy man that you can ignore or accept willy-nilly. It's not talking about some prophet somewhere with his own ideas. As we looked at yesterday evening, where Jesus declared that he is God, because he is the only way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Life is in him. As life comes from God, he is the source of life. And we see this evening that God himself has only one Son who is eternally begotten of the Father. And God so loved the world then that God gave himself. God the Father gave God the Son, a gift. Now, the Son of God. The Son of God is holy. The Son of God is sinless. The Son of God is perfect. The Son of God is righteous. The Son of God has never known any lie to speak it himself. The Son of God has never stolen anything from anybody. The Son of God has never committed any act of injustice, and let alone has he ever blasphemed the name of his Father. No. He is perfect. And he is lovable. It says a number of times in the scriptures when we hear in the New Testament that the Lord will declare, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Lord cannot say that about you and me. That he's well pleased with us, as we are, at all. But it is the way that God's love can flow to you and flow through to you is only through his lovable Son. You must have the lovable Son. He must be yours and you must be his, and then the love of the Father can flow through to you. But how does that work, you may ask? How does that all work? In order for God to love us, everything that's unlovable, everything that's unholy, everything that's unrighteous, everything that's dark and wicked must be removed. It must be. Otherwise, God's holy anger against all sin and unbelief and wickedness would still be against us, and he could not love us. Couldn't. We would remain unlovable. And would remain so for absolutely ever. Romans 5 and verse 8 says this. It says, but God, again a but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? That word commend is linked to the word recommend, and that has an idea in there, but it's not the full meaning of the word commend. The Lord shows his love. The Lord proves his love. The Lord reveals his love. That's the idea of that word. The Lord proves and reveals his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, 2,000 years ago, Christ died for us. Now there's the love of God, sending his Son to die for the unlovable to make them lovable in the Beloved. A name for Jesus Christ. There's a message of hope. Look around you in your own life. Look around you in society. See all the hopelessness and the darkness. And maybe the Holy Spirit is now convicting you of your own sin, because your greatest problem in life, the ultimate great problem in life, is your sin before a holy God. Do you want to remain unlovable for the rest of eternity? And being unlovable, that means you're still guilty and you're still a sinner in hell. Now, but the gift of God that we're talking about here is the gift of Christ. The gift of Christ. And that's the gift of Christ to pay for sin. The gift of Christ to pay for sin. So we've seen God's love and God's gift. And we see, thirdly, God's terms. God's terms, God's conditions, as it were. Let's have a look at the verse again. For God so loved the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever. Whosoever, what does that mean? Well, it really means anybody. That's what it means. Anybody. Whosoever. If anybody believes on the only begotten Son of God, he or she shall be saved. Anybody. Whether they're black, brown, yellow, white, pink, whatever your colour of your skin may be, whatever your ethnic origin may be, whosoever. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're unemployed, employed, whether you have full-time work or you have part-time work, whosoever. Whether you're intelligent, whether you're just average, or whether you're mentally challenged in some way, whosoever. Whether you're an atheist, or a Sikh, or a Muslim, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or a Marxist, a liberal, a conservative, whatever, whosoever. Whosoever. Anybody, all types of people from all parts of the world, whosoever. So it means who you are, where you come from, what your family background is, how much you've got in the bank account, all these other things make no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need the gospel. We all need the hope of the gospel. We all need the Christ of the gospel. You need the Christ of the gospel. You need to be saved. And that's what whosoever is here. Whosoever believeth in him. But what must these anybodies do to be saved? What must you do to be saved? Well, it says here, believe. It says believe. And what is belief? Now, if you were to listen to the radio and to watch the television or look online and read books and hear all sorts of things, belief in the world is a very vague thing. Often it's a vague thing. It's a feeling. That's not belief. There can be feelings associated with belief. It's not a feeling. Is it wishful thinking? No. Wishful thinking is a thought of the imagination. That's all it is. When you're dead, your imagination and your body and your brain is gone. It doesn't function anymore. What is faith? It's simply this. It's putting all your trust in Jesus Christ. If you were to put your trust in anything else, then these divine promises are not for you. Are you going to put it into your good works? No. Don't. Don't. How about your religion? Don't. How about your rejecting of religion because you see hypocrisy there? No. Don't. How about rejecting all these other things and just thinking that if you are just nice to people, that's a false religion that you hear nowadays. Well, just try to be nice to everybody. You're trying to be saved outside of Jesus Christ. We've made it very clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you're going to reject the only begotten Son. You're going to choose something else. Well, there is no love of God outside of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him. You see, I have to bring you back, shake you out of your sleep of death, as it were, to make you realize that it doesn't matter what religion or none or whatever philosophy or whatever ideas that you hold on to, God's love is only to be poured out and then abundantly to you in Jesus Christ. And you must believe on Jesus Christ. Belief is trust. It's trust. It's trusting now, as we do, that this floor is not going to give way because it's made of good solid wood. It's trusting the brakes on my car because they've been serviced and I know that a good brake pad's on there. There's fresh brake fluid in the system and they know that they work. Having trust in things. We have the ability to trust. And here's the challenge. Sinners will not trust Jesus Christ. And therefore you must repent of your sin. And trust in Jesus Christ. All those things that stop God being able to love you because you're outside of Christ and you haven't pinned all your hopes, you haven't pinned your future, you haven't laid hold on Christ as he, that when he was on the cross, that he was on the cross for you. That when he says that follow me, you follow him, you obey his word and you love him. And all these things are laying hold on Christ. Are putting your faith in him and trusting in him and doing all of that reveals that you are the source of all the love of God towards you. But outside of that, there is no love of God. There's wrath of God. Seriously. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is only wrath. Only righteous anger. And God is a righteous judge. God is not going to allow wickedness to continue. He puts up with it so that the gospel of Christ will go forth and save all those he wants to save. He puts up with evil. He puts up with foolish and wicked dictators and politicians and you and me. Puts up with us so that all those who are to be Christ's will become to be Christ's until the end of time when he decides this is it. This is the time appointed. All that are to be Christ's have been brought into the kingdom. And then we have the final day of judgment. And so all these anybodies that we see in this whatsoever, they must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Trusting in him and trusting in his word and trusting in his work. Trusting in what he says. Believing. Because unbelief in Jesus Christ is a terrible sin. It's an absolute wicked sin. It says it in John 3 and verse 18. We didn't read it. But John 3 and 18 says this, he that believeth on him, so he that believeth, whoever believeth on Jesus Christ, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's what I'm calling you tonight to do with this message of hope, that you will believe. You will believe in what the words that are used here, that you'll believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Believe in who he is. Believe in his person and his work as Savior, as the Son of God. And so God's terms then, that we are to be saved through belief in the Son. So we've seen God's love, God's gift, God's terms, and finally, God's promises. God's promise says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the reward for believing God's promised love, found only in his only begotten Son, is everlasting life. Why? Well, because you've believed on the Son's death on the cross has paid for all your sin and your wickedness. And it means that that claim of death upon you because of your sin, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so you see that when the Lord has taken away all your sin, the Lord's love can pour upon you. And the Lord is eternal. His love is eternal. And if you are going to be the object of his eternal love, you too must be eternal. And death has no claim upon you. So the two facts then, that death has no more claim upon you because Jesus Christ took away all your sin, and that God's love towards you is all eternal. Therefore, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Everlasting life, instead of everlasting perishing in your sins, as it says here, everlasting destruction from the presence of God. Instead of all of that, everlasting bliss, everlasting happiness in the presence of the Lord himself, to be with God. And the source of all good things in life are from God. You might think of happiness and joy and all these other things, friendship, rejoicing, fellowship. And they're just gifts of the soul that we enjoy with each other and in life. Are all gifts from God, all come from God. And how much more will the gifts be of God when we're in glory with him, when no sin will be in the way, when no unbelief will be in the way, when no darkness and no devil in the world is in the way. And then the love can flow in its purest from God to us who are saved and from us to him, because he wants us to love him. And so God's love is seen in the Son of God. It's seen in the work of the Son of God, that he died for others. Jesus Christ did not need to die for himself because he had no sin. But the love of God is expressed in the cross. The cross is the revelation of God's love at its height, that he would send his Son to die for worthless sinners like you and me. And that's a wonderful promise of hope. It's a wonderful promise of hope that you and I have sinned. And we're criminals in the eyes of God. And because God is righteous, he's wrathful against crime. And he will deal with it and he will pay for it. We will pay for it. And he will punish it, I should say. But if we're to believe on the Son, here's the promise that we shall not perish in hell, but we will have everlasting life with God. Come then. Repent of that sin. Repent of all those things that make you unlovable towards God, and lay hold on him who is the beloved of God. And then you'll receive that love of the Lord. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son, that I may believe in him and not perish but have everlasting life. Lay hold on the Saviour. Repent. Believe and receive the gift of everlasting life. Amen. May Lord bless this word to the eternal salvation of your soul. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for these truths that we've discovered together about thy love and thy gift and thy terms, thy conditions. That we must believe on the Son and thy wonderful promise of everlasting life, having had all our sins washed away, having peace and reconciliation with thee. Lord, bless the going forth of the good news of the gospel, the hope of everlasting life, to all who have heard and will yet hear this message. And save souls, Lord, draw them irresistibly to thyself. Grant, O God, the gift of the Spirit to convict and to convert, that Jesus Christ may have more in his kingdom, even from off this evening. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank you for joining us again for the second evening of our week-long online gospel outreach meetings. The Lord willing, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, once again, we'll uncover another word of hope from the Word of God. If you have any questions, any queries, by all means, take contact with us via the website, which is calgaryfpc.ca, calgaryfpc.ca. There's no dots in between all of those except the .ca. So C-A-L-G-A-R-Y, calgaryfpc.ca. Any questions, any requests for a Bible, just go to our website and you'll find the contact details there. May the Lord bless you this evening. The children, or should say the gospel outreach singers, will come and sing one more verse of Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Thank you for watching. May the Lord bless you and yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Singers, would you like to come up, please?
Blessed assurance.